We will now go back over what you heard in part one. The purpose of this is to help you understand more clearly the points made, as well as to highlight and explain important language and grammar contained in part one. I will replay a number of pieces from part one. After the replay, I will ask you questions, explain the content of the piece, or explain the language. Where questions are asked, there will be a short pause for you to answer, and I will then give you the correct answer, if you hadn't got it right the first time. Now, listen carefully and learn. The first definition of leadership skills comes from Chris Bonington, leader of a Mount Everest expedition.
Being a leader in industry, commerce, or any other activity involving people requires much the same skills and techniques as being a leader of an Everest expedition, only it is rather less dramatic and a lot less dangerous, but it need not be any less stimulating or less enjoyable. Bonington's functions in 1975 were similar to that of a manager in industry or commerce. He had to select a team, inspire the team, and lead them.
So, Bonington's functions were to select, to inspire, and to lead a team. He had to choose suitable people, make sure that these people did their best, and provide leadership in day-to-day decisions and problems. In other words, he was a manager. A manager or leader is only as good as the team he or she leads. You were first given the qualities of a good leader, and then you were given the qualities of a good team. After all, the leader's aim must always be to improve his team's performance, not his own performance. His performance can only be judged through that of the whole team. So, the first quality of a good team was a positive leader.
First of all, we can ask, what are the characteristics of a positive leader? A positive leader should have all the C's. The C's stand for charismatic, caring, committed, crystal clear, communicative, consistent, creative, competent, and courageous. Some people say a good leader must also have the last C, which stands for crazy.
Charismatic means an ability to win the respect, trust, and liking of other people. A committed person is someone who puts all of their energy into pursuing their goals. Consistent means you act according to rules of behavior. Your decisions should follow a fixed pattern and not be the result of moods. If you are not consistent, you will not win the trust of your team members. Competent means you are skilled and capable in your job. You must prove your competence to your team if you want to win their respect. The final C, that little bit of craziness, is the mixture of many qualities. Confidence, inspiration, even a little recklessness sometimes. The second quality of a good team was positive team members.
How can you have positive team members? Leaders are only as good as their team members. For this reason, good leaders must attract, develop, and keep good people. Each manager uses different criteria when selecting people for his team, but three important qualities to look for are positivity, professionalism, and performance.
The three qualities of a good worker: positivity, professionalism, and performance. Positivity is his or her attitude to life generally. Professionalism is his or her attitude to work. And performance means his or her ability and skill at the job.
Performance of employees can be measured through using performance management systems. Such systems help workers to clarify and reach their goals. This way, workers who show a constant high level of performance can be rewarded by promotion.
The third quality of a good team, a positive culture.
The culture within a company can be simply defined as the way things are done in the company. IBM, a company whose performance in the market has slumped in the last few years, are now trying to make their company culture more positive, for example. The IBM culture is evident if you enter the IBM building. Everything is big, clean, and tidy. The workers are all polite, friendly, and professional. However, there is something missing. John Akers, their chief executive, has defined what is missing. IBM has lost its fire, he says. The company no longer has the entrepreneurship and hunger to succeed and change, which once made the company great. For this reason, Akers is trying to make the culture more positive by sending his middle managers out to the customers again.
What is the culture of a company? The culture of a company is the way things are done from day to day. The culture includes the work philosophy, the atmosphere, goals, and organization of a company. In IBM, the company culture was positive, insofar that it was orderly, well-organized, friendly, and professional. But this was somehow not enough. If the company culture doesn't change, the company becomes stagnant. It loses dynamic and becomes conservative. Despite its apparently healthy culture, IBM was becoming stagnant. That means it had stopped changing and developing. On the surface, all was well, but below the surface, problems were beginning to develop. John Akers saw this and tried to regenerate life, movement, and dynamic in the company by sending out his middle managers to meet the customers. This disturbed the hierarchy of the company and introduced a new dynamic. He was trying, in his own words, to put fire back into IBM. Look at this sentence. The culture within a company can be simply defined as the way things are done in the company. Here, there are two verbs in the passive voice. Can be defined and things are done. We use the passive in sentences where there is no subject, or where the subject is unknown to us. In this case, we don't know who can simply define or who can do things easily, so the passive voice was used. Slumped means fallen, collapsed, or dropped. The IBM culture is evident, means it is clear to be seen. There is evidence of it. Instead of for this reason, you could say because of this or as a result.
Older organizations become too solid in their ways and lose their positivity. Roles and power relationships exist, and through this, creativity dies.
Big, successful companies often become seduced by their own success. They think they have found a formula for success and decide to stick with this. The same can apply to leaders. As soon as this happens, the company or leader in question is on the road to failure. There is no formula for success. Success comes through development and adaptation. From this fact comes the business motto, develop or die. If you remain positive and creative, you will not stop developing and not stop succeeding. Solid in their ways means companies are tied down to old formulas and practices. The fourth team quality was setting positive goals.
You must start by defining your strengths, weaknesses, opportunities, and threats. You must find out what your target group is, and then find out what they want. Once you have found the goal you are aiming for, you can then work out a way to achieve it.
Strengths, weaknesses, opportunities, and problems. In other words, your advantages, your disadvantages, what you can achieve, and the difficulties you would have in achieving this. Before setting your goals, you must know yourself. And remember, we are talking about the strengths, weaknesses, opportunities, and problems of the whole team, not of the leader or a part of the team. Therefore, the goals you set must also be the ones which suit the whole team. If a team is positive in setting its goals, it will very likely be successful. Your goals should be solid, clear, and realistic. It's the job of the team leader to keep the team clearly focused on what it has to achieve and review team aims at intervals. The fifth team quality is commitment to reaching a positive goal.
How can you get commitment to reaching a positive goal? One good way is to allow your team members to take part in the setting of the goal. By listening to staff ideas instead of just giving out orders, you can gain the full dedication of the workers. This practice is very common in Japanese industry. High-level managers, middle managers, and normal workers come together as often as once a week to discuss problems, to discuss new ideas, and to set new goals. When a worker or team member feels he has contributed to the setting of a goal, he will then work much harder to achieve it. Another point is that workers themselves know their capabilities and are often in a better position than managers to say what an attainable goal is.
What practice is common in Japanese industry? Where all levels of managers and workers come regularly together to discuss problems and ideas and set goals. This is a very beneficial and increasingly common practice. The managers benefit by hearing the suggestions and wishes of the people they have to manage. The worker benefits because he takes a greater interest in his work, and the company benefits by the improved performance of both. The sixth quality of the team is to have positive implementers. A team implementer is a person involved directly with the team, motivating and directing them. He could also be called a floor manager.
How can you have positive implementers? The team implementers must be people who know how to get things done. In choosing implementers for management teams, it is important to choose people who have street credibility within the organization. For example, George Duncanson, the chief executive of British Airways, wanted to introduce top quality management to his British Airways workshops. In choosing a new management team for his workshops, he chose a team of engineers instead of managers, as they would receive the respect of the engineers working in the workshops.
Why did Duncanson choose engineers as managers in the British Airways workshops? Because, as fellow specialists, the engineers would earn the respect of the other engineers they had to manage. The seventh quality. A team must do positive work.
One way to ensure positive work is to involve all levels of workers in the organization in the decision-making process. Asking for suggestions from staff of all levels leads to a staff which are inspired to want to do excellent work. Workers should feel a sense of ownership, responsibility, and loyalty to the company's performance. An implementation team should coordinate people's suggestions in four categories known as the four P's. These are products, people skills, practices, and packaging.
To coordinate is to bring together and assimilate. Staff suggestions must be categorized under four titles. A. Products. The worker is the one making the product. Often, he is in the best position to say how the product can be made more efficiently. B. People skills. The worker, of course, knows best where his own skills lie. C. Practices. Often, managers lose touch with day-to-day practices. The worker is always aware of these and can make valuable suggestions for improvement. D. Packaging. Involving the worker also in the marketing as well as the manufacture of products gives him a greater sense of belonging to the company. And the eighth team quality. A team must build up a positive reputation.
The reputation is not only important to the company in pleasing consumers, but it is also necessary to give the workers a sense of pride in where they work and who they work for. A good reputation is built up not only by concentrating on the quality of the product, but also by implementing good personnel policy, good environmental policy, and by having a sense of public duty.
Most modern companies are consumer-orientated. Their greatest concern is often not with the product, but with the public. To implement a good policy means to put it into practice.
A good leader in industry or commerce can no longer ignore environmental concerns, and those who do continue to ignore such issues will find that their reputation, as well as the quality of the work coming from employees, will suffer.
By environment, we mean not just nature, but environment in its widest sense, including society as well. Quality number 9. A team must get positive results.
The ninth stage in our model is referred to as getting positive results. How can we achieve this? A good leader or manager will practice hands-on management. This means that the manager must keep in touch with all levels of his organization. It is, of course, necessary for a manager to delegate many tasks and roles, but he or she must not let go of the controls completely. A leader must educate by delegation.
Hands-on management means a personal approach. To delegate means to divide up responsibility among subordinates. A manager must conduct a delicate balancing act between delegation and single responsibility. He must keep in touch without interfering too much. And now quality number 10 of a good team. Continuing to build a positive team. This can be done through continual development, which I spoke of already. Stagnation must be avoided at all costs. How does the leader bring about development?
It is up to leaders to inspire a desire for change in their teams. Leaders make decisions about investment in R&D, but they must also show their teams the benefits of change. Change must not only be technical, but must also entail a change of thinking. People who already understand the reasons for change are more likely to respond quickly when change is required.
Leaders must inspire, invest, and show or guide. Changes must be explained to the whole team and involve everyone. This way, they are willing participants, not obstacles to change. It is up to leaders, means it is the responsibility of leaders. Those, then, are the 10 vital steps in creating a good and positive team. However, to further help the manager or leader to improve, some other points can be noted.
In 1974, a researcher called Ralph Stogdill compiled information from many other projects on leadership. His results gave what he saw as the various qualities a leader should possess. Top of his list as a leadership quality was sociability, or interpersonal skills. Next in line of importance he saw as being self-confidence. The third was dominance. The fourth was a drive for responsibility. And his list went on to include knowledge, creativity, and task orientation.
Sociability, interpersonal skills. That means his ability to interact and deal with other people, superiors and inferiors. Self-confidence. That means belief in oneself and one's abilities. Dominance. That means an ability to control and direct others. A drive for responsibility. That is a mixture of desire to control and direct and self-confidence. Task orientation is an ability to find out what needs to be done and how to do it. Another study done into leadership divides leaders into two categories. The first is task-motivated leaders.
Task-motivated leaders are leaders who tell people what to do and how to do it. They get their satisfaction from completing the task and knowing they have done it well. Such leaders give clear orders to their teams and also expect clear and defined directions from their superiors. Their main concern is to get the task done.
The second is relationship-motivated leaders.
On the other hand, relationship-motivated leaders are more people-oriented. Most of their satisfaction comes from having a good relationship with their workers. Such leaders wish to be liked and respected by the people working for them. These leaders like to share responsibility with group members by encouraging them to take part in the decision-making process. They do not give orders as clearly as task-motivated leaders and encourage suggestions from all levels within the team.
The difference between the two is essentially order and encouragement. However, no one style is better for all situations. The best leader is one who can balance the two styles according to the situation. And finally, having examined 10 qualities of a good team, what are the most important qualities of a good leader?
1. A good leader should be visible. 2. A good leader should provide a clear mission. 3. A good leader should provide clear values for an organization.